Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
Mental adjustment. It's just, you just play. You just, you know, you go out there with what you have. And this is our third game, 3.5 games really without him. And so we're just, trying to hold down the fort. You know, hopefully he continues to progress, and he has made progress, but it's a little more serious than we thought at the very beginning, and so we'll see where it all goes. But he's in there all day long getting treatment. He's done a great job of committing himself to that process. Rick and his staff are in there all day, and hopefully he'll be back at some point, but we'll just wait and see.
Middays on the Score.
That's Golden State Warriors head coach and former Chicago Bulls, Steve Kerr, talking about Kevin Durant. Steve Kerr doing a nice job last night digging into his bench a little bit, finding the moments to season some of these guys for maybe games down the line. Very Phil Jackson of him, looking at leverage moments and letting his bench breathe a little bit. And here to talk about that and more, all the basketball stuff right now with Zach Harper, who is on Twitter at TalkHoops. The Athletic NBA, Sirius XM, the Count the Dings podcast, and now Count the Dings Live, yeah. Which is here in Chicago tomorrow at Lincoln Hall. It's you, it's Amin El-Hassan, it's Tom Haberstroh, and it's a whole cavalcade of basketball fun.
It is a lot of fun. We've done, I want to say, about 8 of these live shows now. I've done one or a couple in New York, one in Boston, L.A., Vegas, Oakland. And each time, they surprisingly get better, even though we don't put any extra work into it. Like, it's not like we're trying to get better. Just they've been better. And then on top of that, we say some of the things that maybe we wouldn't say on a podcast that's going out or on a radio show for certain. So it's a really good time if you've got the Saturday night free.
And tickets are available at lh-st.com for all the information. You want to go hang out, have a couple glasses of wine, and hear some basketball talk.
Yeah, just hang out with us and talk. That's what it is.
Where do you want to start? You want to start with the playoffs and you pick a series?
Yeah, wherever you guys want. I thought the Steve Kerr rotation stuff was highly disrespectful. You're just like you're so unworried about the Blazers that you're going to just play 11 guys in the first 13 minutes of game one. Come on, that's rude.
I remember
it's just rude.
Phil Jackson yelled at me and he next questioned me during the series against Utah Jazz when early on he put out Randy Brown and Dickie Simpkins,
sure.
and they totally sucked
and
they lost the game because of it. And I asked him, I was like, how? And I asked a really poorly worded, totally loaded question.
Yeah.
And he's just like, yeah, next. and we were fine. I probably deserved it. But the point was, good coaches do that.
Yeah.
You know, go get them. You got to use you. You're on the team.
I know it's a bit of a sore subject here. Well, I don't know if it's still a sore subject, but like Jordan Bell, right? Bulls sell the pick for what?
Semi-sore. Yeah. Somewhat sore. I wouldn't call that a thing.
But at least the more you see him, the more you realize, like, he's not that good.
No.
Like, he's not good at all. Like, granted, he'd be good on the Bulls because Bulls don't really have a whole lot, but he's not that good, but he throws him out there and says, all right, go play.
Jump up and down out
there. Go jump up and down, like, you know, shoot a basketball every once in a while. And Jordan Bell gets some valuable minutes, and maybe next round it's not so – well, if they're playing him next round, they're in trouble. But, you know, next round maybe it's not so tough for him.
It's a weird situation for the Warriors to be in, or maybe it's a perfect one. I don't know. You don't want to lose Kevin Durant. But at the same time, given the matchups that we've seen, given the games played out the way we have – they get to just kind of say anything they feel like about the injury and couch it with whatever these game results kind of happen to be. I don't know what to believe about when he's actually going to be back versus when they could bring him back.
I think it's when they need him. Like, I think that's what it is. Like, he couldn't play tomorrow night. Like, I don't think he could play then. I think game three really would push it. But outside of that, it's probably just, all right, you feeling good tonight? You feel like it's loose? Like, you know, come out and play 20 minutes. They did this a couple years ago in the playoffs where they just brought him back slowly because they brought him back when they felt they needed him, and they don't need him right now. Like, as good as Portland can be, they're going to run through Portland. Like, they just are, with or without Kevin Durant, because this team does play a lot happier without Kevin Durant, because you just don't have this looming 7-foot shooting guard who's pouting all over the place, who's, you know, kind of throwing these little undermining comments about Steve Kerr's coaching left and right. Like, after he dropped, after the I'm Kevin Durant game against the Clippers,
right,
he's like, what changed? He goes, coach ran more plays for me. I'm like, you guys ran the same stuff, like the exact same. You just decided to shoot. That's not a new play. Like, that's the same thing. But, you know, they got to deal with that stuff until he decides to go to the Knicks or the Nets or somewhere.
If the Blazers can't win that game, what game can they win? Now, initially, I said this is six, just because I think any one of their either one of their backcourt can take over a game and sure. win a game for them in the playoffs. But you had to have that one.
Yeah, I mean, that one, game one, you know, you got to put up a better fight than that. Like, the fact that they were dropping Enes Kanter. Look, Enes Kanter's going to be in trouble regardless of how you play him. And yes. I thought Terry Stotts, you know, kind of hinted, he was a little pissy about it, but like kind of hinted at that. But at the same time, that's definitely not the way you play against Steph Curry. Like, that is, there are a lot of ways he can hurt you. That is the easiest way for him to hurt you. But, you know, things will go a little better at home. They'll be a little more energized. You know, rotations will be crisper. Role players usually play better at home historically in playoff games. Like, I think they can take game three, and maybe that forces Kevin Durant to come back in game four.
I figured them for the gentleman's sweep. I figured them sure. for that game three kind of first home thing. The Myers-Leonard plays. He mattered last night, and I just, watching him matter is painful.
I mean, I think that's a loose term, matter.
Like, offensively, he did, but defensively, I mean, you watch them. They came back tied at 110 apiece, right. I think is what it was, and then he's stuck on somebody he shouldn't be on
because
he couldn't find the right lane to run back on a lazy transition play. He's yelling and screaming for somebody to help.
That someone he shouldn't be on is any NBA player.
That's probably true. Yeah, that's probably true.
And looking at the other series, the team just to our north here, the Milwaukee Bucks are, look, let's face it, they're immensely likable. What they have done from when that new ownership, when Wesley Edens, when they took everything over with a plan, with a vision for their home court, for their entire organization, for their coaching hire. Bulls fans see that with this kind of geographical proximity. And it's like, why can't they? Why can't somebody fumigate whatever this is? The Bucks are real, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. They could win the title this year.
Yep,
if Kevin Durant comes back healthy. Absolutely. They're that good. You know, they got a little lucky with Giannis becoming who he is, right? And getting him when they did, and the fact that no one knew who he was or what he was going to be able to do, and they took a chance on, well, not even really took a chance. It was like the 17th, 15th pick, something like that. They make the deal, and they luck out with that. But a lot of teams get lucky and don't know how to build around that luck. And the Bucks had a plan. Like, it's crazy when you go into a situation with a plan, execute it, like adjust on the fly, like, oh, this guy became available. We think he would help.
And it wasn't even the Sam Hinkie plan of, look, I'm just going to stockpile, just accrue number one picks and throw out this one and sift through them. This thing happened faster and seemingly with more foresight.
Well, and they tried it with a really bad coach. Like, Jason Kidd's a terrible coach.
Right.
Like, talking to coaches last year, right before he got fired, I was, you know, you kind of heard rumblings he was going to get fired. And I'm asking, like, so what, like, what's the deal with this stuff? Like, it seems very... very rudimentary.
He's going to get Frank Vogel fired. Yeah.
I mean, in a different way, for sure. Yeah. But I was like, you know, it seems very, and they, like, all these scouts were telling me, we don't have to game plan. That's how basic the stuff is. Oof. On both sides of the floor. They, like, we have a general idea of what we want to do, and they're not going to make any adjustments, and they're not, and we know we don't have to game plan. And then, like, 2 weeks later, he got fired. And I'm just like, that's, you know, they went from that to Mike Budenholzer, who has all of the game plans, like any kind of adjustment you want.
It's baby Pop, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, he came in and said, we score from these five spots on the floor. So if you're not in that area, don't shoot the ball there. Get to the five spots that we shoot from. And they did it. And offense was top three in the league. And defensively, they were already pretty good. He said, you guys are doing a good thing with this, but you know, Brooke, we need you to protect the paint. Eric Bledsoe, you get to go kind of freelance and set the tone defensively with everything. And then we'll use Giannis, not as the anchor of our defense, but as just a free safety. And so you have this 7-1, you know, wingspan of 7-8 who can move all over the floor, getting to just kind of go help out. Like, that's just an amazing game plan. They executed perfectly over the years.
Talking Hoops with Zach Harper live in studio. He's at Talk Hoops on Twitter, so we figured that would guide the conversation. You can find him on the Athletic, SiriusXM, and he's got the live show at Lincoln Hall on Saturday. Tickets are at lh-st.com. It's the Bernstein and McKnight Show. On the other side of the Eastern Conference Finals, though, is Kawhi Leonard and the rest of the Raptors. Has anything he's done, whether it's in the playoffs, signals around him, have you found anything, Zach, that has signaled what he plans on doing?
So I've heard a lot of what he plans on doing. I don't know that any of this is necessarily that reliable, but I've heard for a while, like, he's going to be a Clipper. Like, and so the two examples I have of this that are very different is, one, 2 years ago, Gordon Hayward, all year. Jazz are having a phenomenal season his last year. And all I heard from, like, January on was he's going to be a Celtic. And turns out he ends up being a Celtic. And it's like, wow, that okay, this was information everyone could kind of get.
LeBron to the Lakers.
Yeah, right? LeBron to the Lakers. And then the other one was Paul George. Hey, Paul George is going to be a Laker. That's all you heard. And then he stays with the Thunder. So I use those two as showing, like, we don't really know what's going to happen when we hear this guy is going to do this for all this time. But from what it sounds like, it doesn't really matter what happens in the playoffs. He's going to be a Clipper. You know, he can change his mind. We saw emotion for the first time the other night when he hit that shot. Like,
briefly.
Well, it was like a brief. Yeah, it was almost like it could have been a yawn. Like, I didn't hear any sound. Like, his mouth opened. It was
kind
extended.
Of emotion. A yawn could be emotion.
A yawn can be emotion. Yeah, I show that emotion a lot then.
quite tired often. In here,
yeah, exactly.
Good or bad for the league to have so many potential departures, to have guys able to do what Anthony Davis did for, you know, for the Knicks to sit back and say, look, we could get Kyrie and Kevin Durant. It's great if you're one of those teams, if you're a team like the Bulls that just feels you're never going to have any prayer at it for whatever reason. It kind of sucks to be a fan.
Don't the Bulls? I mean,
we're going to get into this. Okay, I think next segment, you're going to fix the Bulls
for
us.
I can do that.
You are going to
free
solve
of charge.
And to solve the Bulls.
Free of charge.
But in general, this kind of movement of stars, it's fabulous drama. There's a lot of clicks. There's a lot of talk. Yeah. But is it ultimately good for the game?
It's bad for the league when it's so overt, right? When Anthony Davis publicly asked for, or I guess he didn't publicly ask for a trade, but it got out very quickly that he asked for a trade, right? That's bad. But all this stuff of selling hope and rumors and possibilities with player movement and everything, it's great for the league. Like, that's kind of the dirty little secret. Like, it's phenomenal because it drums up interest and makes it going from a six-month sport to an all-year-round sport.
Cool. I mean, it sells hope to multiple franchises, too. Let me ask you, though, about the Anthony Davis thing. Why is that bad for the league? Or maybe a better way of asking it is, was it only bad for the league because of how involved and the way the Lakers were involved?
Yeah, I mean,
because of them?
Well, that's the tricky part, too, is that this whole Rich Paul situation. Like, Rich Paul is legitimately his own entity.
Yeah.
And he is a legitimate agent. Like, he's not just LeBron's friend. But, by the way, he's LeBron's friend. Like, it's a murky ground that I don't know that the league really likes being there. And you just kind of have to navigate. But yeah, it was bad because of the ties to LeBron and the Lakers. And then it was bad because you have a fledgling franchise that doesn't need that kind of negative attention. You can lose Anthony Davis a year from now. That's fine. But not so publicly. And that's the tricky part, because it puts that organization and that market, you know, kind of in the crosshairs, and they don't want that to be questioned.
I just wonder, too, now that the league thinks it's solving the tanking issue by changing the percentages, and really they're just shifting how the tanking goes and where the slots are tanked for now, that is it now putting more emphasis on our only way to be sure of getting a superstar is to clear the decks and grab one.
For a lot of franchises, that's what it is, because nobody wants to go sign in Minneapolis or sign in Milwaukee. And I mean, even with the way that, like, Brook Lopez was a small deal because he's Brook Lopez. Like, he's a nice player, but that you're not getting. I mean, I remember when they signed Greg Monroe and everyone freaked out, like, oh, they got a major free agent. And then, like, a year later, he's a dinosaur. Like, that's that, you know, it's tough to get teams in those markets to be an attractive free agent destination, and that's going to be an issue that's always there.
I'm amazed Greg Monroe is still in this NBA.
I think Greg Monroe's still amazed that he's in the NBA.
You talk about a survivor. Yeah. I mean, that's like a late 70s style unathletic big who's still extant. It's amazing.
I mean, he's not any good, but he's still on a roster. Like, that's impressive.
You're going to fix the Bulls in a moment.
Oh, easy.
So
easy
step fix. By step, paint by numbers, how they get from what they are
right
to a title.
from what they are, which is amazing, to a title.
Okay.
Got it.
All right. Zach Harper is in studio. You're not going to want to miss this. Keep it here. You got the score. This segment is brought to you by Chicagoland Papa John's. Chicagoland Papa John's is offering free pizza this weekend. Buy one pizza at regular price. Get a second pizza of equal or lesser value for free. Use promo code FREEPIZZADAY on the Papa John's app or online at papajohns.com. That's promo code FREEPIZZADAY. Zach Harper is in studio with us, and he is in town because he and the crew of Count the Dings are doing Count the Dings live. Tom Haberstroh, Amin El-Hassan, everybody. So the team that brought you True Hoop and the basketball analogy, the basketball friends, Count the Dings live VIP package with a pre-show meet and greet, preferred seating, exclusive merchandise. It's at Lincoln Hall tomorrow night. Get tickets at lh-st.com. Okay, this is your assignment. The Chicago Bulls, as they stand, are where they are. They have the young players that they have. Jim Boylan is the head coach.
Yeah, why not?
And right now they've got the 7 pick. How are you taking steps to get this team back to contending for a title?
Okay, I need parameters. Am I allowed a time machine?
No.
I just want to change one thing. I just want to undo the Otto Porter trade.
Undo it?
Yeah. It's a bad trade.
Why?
Because he's a fine player, but he's not actually going to like get them anywhere. And so what you've done is over the next 2 years, you have eliminated any cap flexibility you could have had. I'm not saying it's easy to get players to Chicago, but you do have, and I don't know that he would want to play for his hometown, but you have Anthony Davis being a free agent in 2020. Like, you could have built a situation that was attractive to at least getting a meeting with him and getting in that room and trying to sell him on coming home.
This isn't
and they've
starting
eliminated
well.
That. No,
this is not
well,
starting
it's it.
Well.
I mean,
starting with a time machine.
He's immediately retconning the history of the Chicago
right.
Bulls
this
while
like
trying
the
to fix
Marvel.
The
Marvel multiple universes here.
If it makes
here.
You feel better, everything I know about time travel I learned from the movie Time Cop. So I'm a pretty big expert on time
travel. You could
travel.
Learn from worse than JCVD.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
That guy knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
And he won, you know, at the
yeah,
end
he won.
Time
Spoiler
cop,
alert.
So things worked out fine.
Yeah.
The issue that we've been going back and forth with on the Otto Porter Jr. thing, and whether you continue your plan to fix the Bulls here, is I give them some sort of begrudging credit for understanding that they're not likely
sure.
getting Anthony Davis.
Right.
But that comes with the cognitive dissonance of knowing they're not getting Anthony Davis. They need to be in a position where that's possible.
Right.
And I don't know how to measure that on the scoreboard, I guess. I've given them the narrow edge, I suppose, in making the right decision
sure.
in fact of cold circumstance.
Like Otto Porter's not a bad player by any means, but he like $27-28 million for that. Like that's a bad contract that you've decided to take on. And if you do that, that has to be the guy that puts you over the top. Otto Porter doesn't put them over the top by any means. Like, you have Zach LaVine on what looks like is going to be a solid contract. Like, $19-20 million for that kind of scoring. Like, not bad in today's NBA. That's
sure.
not bad.
Mm-hmm.
But when you now add $27-28 million every year to that, and those are your wings locked in a league that is that you need wings and you need that one guy who can do everything on both ends of the floor, which is like an Anthony Davis – once you've locked that in, you just limit yourself. And now you need Lauri Markkanen to be a home run. You need Wendell Carter Jr. to be a home run. Whoever the 7th pick is, you have to nail that. And granted, like, this always is easy with revisionist history, but it doesn't look like that good of a draft to be somewhere in that 7, 8, 9 range, right? Like, it's not that deep. And so, you know, maybe you get lucky there, but a lot of this has to be how do you clear out a Felicio contract that is only $8-9 million, but it's $8-9 million that you're just wasting. Like, you just have to have flexibility, and they took away their flexibility. They locked into a coach who I'm not sure the players actually believe in, and that's how you doom yourself. That's how you perpetually keep being not that good or not good enough.
This hour is brought to you by Geneva National Resort and Club in Lake Geneva. Your employer, The Athletic, had an anonymous player poll.
Yeah.
And Jim Boylan, of active coaches, was voted the coach that most players would not want to play for. The Bulls think a lot of this is just media-driven narrative, and it's not real. They know things about him that we don't. But the fact is, around the league, I don't know if they're really even aware of how poorly they and their coach are perceived.
Like, we can talk about whether or not players are too soft today and everything, but like that back-to-back and then a practice, that reverberated throughout the league of what a joke with players, with coaches, like knowing that, no, you can't do this. Right. It's not how we do things anymore. They're not the days of the Pat Riley 3-hour practice anymore. Like, that's just not how things work.
Do you watch Game of Zones?
I do. I haven't seen the latest one, but
okay.
Yeah.
Well, if for people who watch Game of Zones, it's a hilarious, like, inside joke NBA animated satire of
it's
the league using Game of Thrones as sort of their little framing device there. And they do the draft lottery. And they just blow past the Bulls. They don't even make fun of the Bulls. It's just in passing.
Right.
They just say something like, well, nobody's going to want to go to the Bulls when all you're trying to figure out is how many push-ups you're supposed to do in practice. And that's it. And it's just a one-liner. Everybody else they spend time with really making fun of. But
Move
it's like
on.
They weren't even worth making fun of.
Right. And that's where they are. I mean, think like, unless this franchise has had Michael Jordan or that couple years where Derrick Rose became a thing, right? Like, it's been a pretty irrelevant franchise. Like, that's where you are. That's where you are with the Bulls. And so if you're going to fix that, you have to clean house at the top, which is not going to happen. You have to get a coach that the players believe in, which doesn't seem to be the case. And then you have to have flexibility to add to the roster and to be able to adjust on the fly. And you can invest in guys that you believe in, but that guy can't be Otto Porter to take a 25-win team to a 45-win team. That's not how that works. And so you have to have an actual plan, and it never feels for years I've said this, like, it feels like the Bulls' plan is win the press conference. Don't worry about the games.
They don't even do that consistently.
Well, they think they do, though. Yeah. Like, they walk away from those press conferences high-fiving and go, we killed it. Like, wow, we killed it. And it's like, no, everyone else is laughing at you because they are so dug into this idea of we're the Bulls. That matters. That matters when Michael Jordan's wearing your jersey. When he's not, you don't. Like, and that's just where the Bulls are.
If they do nail that 7 pick, if everything goes right with them and Jim Boylan is able to, because the one thing I do give him credit for is very slowly and only slightly changing Zach LaVine's perception of him, at least seemingly
publicly.
Sure,
and that's a big deal.
It is a big deal. If everything goes well, how many more wins can you pile on? You know, Michael Reinsdorf mentioned we won 9 home games last season. That can't happen again.
Right.
You'd give them another 9, and that's, you know,
I
got
to be honest. I didn't even think they got to 9, so I'm pretty impressed by that. So now they're changing the perception around the league's going up.
1 point.
Yeah.
How good can they be in an Eastern Conference that, like you said, may lose Kawhi, but will likely keep Kyrie Irving and may get Kevin Durant?
Right.
You can go down the list. I mean, hell, Anthony Davis could be headed to Boston Celtics.
That Orlando team and that Detroit team just made the playoffs. Those are terrible teams.
Yeah.
There's no reason why the Bulls can't get to playoff contention in that way. Like, the back end of the East is a joke. Like, that, I know we talk, oh, the top four in the East, like, it's got to be evening out between them and the West now. Sure, at the top, it does. But the rest of it is a joke. And there's no reason why with, you know, assuming Carter's healthy, assuming Markkanen's healthy, assuming Porter and Zach LaVine just remain what they are.
And they find a point guard.
You find a point guard and you get a decent amount of, like, two guys on your bench are able to consistently step up. You can be a 38-44 win team and that be enough to be the 8 seed. Like, it doesn't take much to get the 8 seed in the East. But from there, then what? Like, you're just hoping these guys get, you know, develop enough? Like, I don't know how good their development, you know, system is. Like, that stuff matters, and you have to have it. It's not just, we got a good player, and there he goes. Like, no, you have to build up everybody throughout that roster.
The bottom of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Football. Don't miss your chance to watch Big Ten football at Ryan Field this fall as the number 17 Northwestern Wildcats host Ohio State, Iowa, and more. Season tickets on sale now at nusports.com. I'm going to ask the Theo Epstein question here, and that is,
oh, they should definitely get Theo Epstein.
It's what don't we know? When Theo would start a meeting. What don't we know? Big picture, if you're putting a team together, this game is evolving fast with data and cameras and everything, understanding of positioning or positionlessness. What's next? If the Bulls really want to be ahead of the game instead of chasing what the game is, and by the time they get there, what it was.
Right.
Be a basketball philosopher king here.
It's length. Length matters. Like, that's what the Bucks figured out, is that there is only so much space on the court. Half of it doesn't get used on any given possession, right? Half of it is just gone. And so in this half court, how do you shrink the floor? On both ends of the floor. Because while you're spacing it with shooters, you're shrinking in the fact that you have a guy who can just go take a step and a half and be at the rim and dunk. Mm-hmm. And not everyone's going to get a Giannis, but length seems to cut everything off, especially defensively. So if everyone is trying to space the floor, how do you eliminate that space? The Bucks have figured it out. The Bulls should try to figure that out. And they have some guys with decent length. Like, Wendell Carter Jr. I think is going to be an excellent pro. Like, I think he can be an Al Horford-esque, like, all-star, all-defense. Like, I think he's that he's that good. But you can't have that guy be the best player on your team.
Sure.
So then is Markkanen going to be that guy? Is he going to be good enough in other areas of the floor? Or can you set up a system where all he's got to do is score? Score, grab some rebounds. That's all you got to do. And that, and you can fix that. You can fix that. But you have to play a modern style of basketball that you're right. Like, you're not going to be the Warriors. You're not going to get Steph. You're not going to get Klay. You're not going to get Kevin Durant. So trying to emulate what they're doing is stupid. Any team trying to do that is stupid because you're not going to get those all-time players. So how do you go the other way? How do you shrink the floor? How do you cut that off? It's with length. And so that's what the Bulls need. They need guys who can shrink the floor.
How is the college game as it's constructed now? Granted, it loses John Beilein, one of the greatest teachers, and blah, 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 blah. But how do you as a college game, or as you watch the college game, see products being put into the draft, that length being driven in? Like, who's doing that the best to get some of those NBA prospects there?
Texas Tech?
Texas Tech, you know, Virginia to a certain degree, like, they, you know, DeAndre Hunter is kind of that prototypical guy. Like, all right,
I think he could be a sneaky good pro. I understand, like, that whole program and system.
It worries me when you dribble a basketball like a football. Yeah. Like, that worries me. You don't know that ball is coming up when he dribbles, and that scares me. But
that was the Luol Deng rule,
right,
too.
It really was. Oh, don't let him throw a four. Oh, God.
Oh, once Luol gets to two dribbles, you're like, well, that possession's done. We can't do anything about that.
We had it.
I think that Texas Tech, Virginia, like, some of those teams have found that, oh, we can take this rangy guy, this lanky guy, and we can turn him into someone who is going to move his feet defensively, cut the floor off that way, and maybe hit a corner three. And then anything outside of that, like, that's going to be the new currency in the NBA, is those guys who do that on both ends of the floor.
Does looking at that from a development standpoint, though, change what we've thought we knew about the NBA? If you're getting this kind of, like you said, like, lanky, developmental athlete type prospect, we've always said that, like, you learn how to shoot eventually in the NBA, whether it's Ja Morant, whether it's Blake Griffin, whether it's Zion. Eventually, they'll get better at shooting.
Right.
Will that challenge that tenet, the fact that you're just grabbing lanky dudes who haven't maybe played a whole lot of basketball?
I mean, we're just now scratching the surface with this. We can call it the Steph Curry generation, right? And, and not everyone's going to play like Steph Curry, but the fact that he made three-point shooting cool, like, and that trickles down throughout youth basketball, and we're going to finally see a generation of focusing on that shot.
He begat Trae Young already.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Trae Young, like, plays that way because he saw Steph Curry doing it a few years ago. And that's, I mean, that stuff matters. And so it's going to be a generation really loving the three-point shot, and that will kind of help that development happen. But then if they're focusing on that, where aren't they focusing? That's going
to
be the thing.
We've talked to a lot of experts about Zion Williamson, and everyone agrees he's a potentially a transformational player.
Yeah.
Where some scouts are concerned is that size of a human being with the actual physics involved and the pounding on feet and ankles and knees, all that force has to go somewhere and has to be maintained. Is that to what extent is that a concern for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's a concern. He's huge. And he, like, put on 100 pounds in, like, a year when he was a teenager. Like, that's not good for you. Like, that is so bad, whether that's natural or not. That's so bad. But some guys are built to where it doesn't matter. And Vince Carter said for years, like, it's not the jumping that hurts. Like, that anyone can jump. It's the landing. Like, that's why these older guys don't jump like they used to, is because they don't want to.
Isn't that why, as we talked to Chris Herring about it from 538, isn't that why Embiid falls down?
Yeah.
Is that Embiid has realized that he's better off spreading out the force of his landing.
He's essentially turned into parkour. Like, he's failing at parkour, but in a good way. Like, that's, you know, I don't know, judo masters are probably going to be the next wave. Like, for years, guys were playing soccer, doing ballet training to, like, work on their footwork, and now it's just going to be learn how to fall.
I tried to explain that to when I saw Derrick Rose initially and just saw how sort of rigid and explosive he was, and compared that to watching a young Iverson and covering Iverson, and watch how Iverson somehow didn't land with all his weight. He defied physics. He was cat-like in his ability, and Rose just always looked like somebody dropped him.
He's always doing the superhero entrance, right? Like that from the sky.
Landing.
Yeah, the superhero landing.
Like, it's like just a three-point landing.
Exactly.
Thing.
Yeah, sure. And that's, man, it's just so bad for your body. And so, yeah, like, that development in learning how to put that forward, like, because that's what shoes have been trying to do. Shoe technology for years is trying to, how do we absorb that impact?
Well, that's when the knees started to go.
Yeah.
Because if you look at it and if you talk to these trainers about the kinetic chain, that it used to be you had your Chuck Taylor, your canvas Chuck Taylors,
oh,
and they were
God,
a lot,
I can't even
you
know, imagine
a bunch of rolled
those.
Ankles, oh, and get, and some guys would tape their ankles, and some guys wouldn't, and you roll ankles, Now the ankles are probably okay now, but all the force goes up to the knee.
Right.
And I said, well, look, they got to get the knee stabilized. And the trainer said, okay, great, then all the hips are going to blow out.
Yeah, and the hips are that's the one thing you can't hurt. Like, you, no one really comes back from hip injuries. So, yeah, it's like, and with Derek, too, like, he was contorting his body in midair, so, like, you didn't know how he was going to land. Mm-hmm. You just knew it
neither
was going to.
Neither did he.
Well, yeah, that's true. Like, he was avoiding contact and making spectacular plays, and then just superhero entrance. Like, that's hard. Like, this is so hard on your body. And so, Zion is going to have to figure that out, because that is like, that shoe didn't blow out for no reason. Like, that's a two. Like, my favorite line about him is Jason Concepcion of The Ringer said he's like if someone got bit by a radioactive cinder block. Like, that's and it's true. Like, that's the perfect way to describe him.
Gonna be fun tomorrow night. Count the Dings live. It will be at Lincoln Hall. If you want tickets to be with this man, Zach Harper and Tom Haberstroh and Amin El-Hassan and their whole crew, 9:00 p.m. It's an 18 and over show with a VIP package or the pre-show meet and greet, preferred seating, exclusive merchandise, and you can work a little blue. I think is stuff you can't do on the
very
radio.
Blue. Yeah,
very blue. Very
good
blue.
Taps. All right, Lincoln.
Yeah. My parents are gonna be there. I have to. Yeah, it's weird.
Tickets at lh-st.com. This is really a pleasure, Zach. We appreciate you.
Oh, yeah, that was great. Thank you so much.
That is Zach Harper. We have the Midday Midway coming up. I have a New Hampshire man who is auditioning for the role of Florida man, and I have a reason why you probably want to avoid swimming off the Carolina coast right now.
Alex Rodriguez is in a lot of trouble. Midday Midway is next. Bernstein McKnight, 670 The Score.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
The first half or the second half, you know, it's they're two equal times.
Now, Midway.
The Midday Midway.
One, two.
Midway, the most important of the year.
Three, four.
The most exciting thing on the Midway.
Five, six, seven, eight.
Our objective is Midway.
9, 10.
You guys gotta meet me halfway out there.
So real, you can almost feel
the Midday Midway with Bernstein and McKnight on The Score.
So far in this Friday edition of Bernstein and McKnight, we started out talking about the PGA Championship at Bethpage, the performance of Brooks Koepka and Tommy Fleetwood and everybody else. That was with David Dusek of Golf Week. Shortly thereafter, I said, screw Ian Kinsler. If you haven't seen that story yet, seriously, the hell with him for his behavior last night and being the very same. You're the same guy who is a play-the-right-way guy in the World Baseball Classic, not having it from him. You brought up the analysis that Jim DeShays did, talking about Tyler Chatwood, the difference between his walk rate as a reliever, as a pitcher. Zach Harper joined us in studio, talked NBA playoffs, and tried to fix the Bulls.
Let it be known that it did not go well in trying to fix the Bulls.
No, he failed.
Very much tried.
But he did say that Wendell Carter Jr. had Al Horford-like possibilities.
Big fan.
That's really
good. Kind of a Larry Markkinen guy, too. Good chat with Zach Harper there. This is, I don't know how new this feature is, but the article came out yesterday, so maybe you can help. It's been a while since I've taken a ride share. I've kind of been biking around since the weather turned at least a little bit better. But you tell me if this doesn't sound like heaven. Uber has created a new mode for its ride-sharing possibilities. If you're not in the mood to make small talk, you can now request that through the app. You just slide right.
Yes.
You just slide a little preference bar over, and it's quiet mode, and it lets your driver know you're not interested in talking. Maybe you got emails. Maybe you got a phone call to make. Maybe you want to text. Maybe you want to play whatever stupid candy game you're playing. Or that stupid dot game that you and Rick got me into.
Well, Rick got me
that
into
have
it.
Now, it's now ruined my spare time.
It's called,
you're welcome.
You guys are jerks.
It's called Flow Free.
Jerks.
And it takes a while to sort of get the feel of it, but once you do, you can't quite figure out how you just solved one of the puzzles.
It is addicting.
And you look at
as
it
hell.
When you look at it, by the time you've solved it, you're like, wait, how did I do that?
This and show is 3/4 consumed by free flow or flow free or
it has,
fleet farm or whatever the hell it is.
Farm and fleet. It has gotten me through a half an hour of cardio in a blink. If I'm sitting on the bike and just doing that. I mean, usually I'm doing crossword puzzles and all that, but this is a great way. It's a terrific time sink if you need it for cardiovascular exercise and you can still kind of handle it in that way.
Shockingly, I did not think of it for that context.
Well, is Rick in on there? Is Jay in on this yet?
No, I think Jay's the only holdout.
Stay away, man.
Flow free?
Yeah, stay away. It's better for you.
I've played it.
Speaking of better for you, this the quiet mode thing. I don't know if it's lasted for a while. I don't know if it's on the app that I use for rideshare or whatever, but this is nice.
I like it every once in a while, but then I wouldn't have had my ride to the airport for Score House with crazy White Sox fan guy.
Oh, right. And I wouldn't have had when I went to the United Center to hang out with David Hochberg for the Blackhawks game. We wouldn't have had the crazy guy who wanted to give the World Series back for cheaper tickets. Ugh.
Farmington, New Mexico. A New Mexico man was arrested after police said he took a drunken shoplifting joyride on an electric shopping cart inside a Walmart.
Well,
according to KOAT, we've all thought about it. Look, come on. Let's
very
be honest.
Much.
We've all seen it. We've all thought about it. We've all decided to look, nobody could just get on that thing and go. Police responded to the store around 11:30 p.m. after receiving reports of a man threatening a store employee with a knife. An employee told police that people noticed 53-year-old Tommy Singer of Farmington drinking a beer while driving around the store in an electric cart.
Tommy's just living his life until the knife popped out.
When an employee confronted Singer about the alcohol, he replied, "What beer?"
Gaslit him with a beer.
Yep. What beer? You know, these are not the droids you're looking for. And then he started walking away. Singer then allegedly began to get aggressive with the employee, eventually pulled out a pocket knife, pointed it at the employee, and threatened him to stay back. When police arrived, they took Singer into custody.
What pocket knife?
And they found $106 worth of stolen merchandise. He was charged with armed robbery and tampering with evidence. Among the stolen items...
How much? 106?
106.
Okay.
Now, this is what's interesting here. Among the stolen items were eyeliner, lipstick, 4 watches... and Budweiser.
Ooh, Tommy had a night plan.
I was going to say, go get him, Tommy.
Turn into a lady of the evening. Did you see the giveaway at the Warriors game, the game one of the Western Conference Finals on, what was that, Tuesday night?
No.
Okay, so obviously they've got a pretty decent ownership group and one that's connected to a whole bunch of cool stuff. But when 19,596 fans entered Oracle Arena for the NBA Western Conference Finals Tuesday night, they were expecting an energetic atmosphere, high-level basketball. What they didn't expect, this was from Front Office Sport, what they didn't expect is that we'd all be leaving with new Google Home Mini smart speakers. I don't know if they were Oprah underneath the seats and you get one. But every single fan, I guess, in the house, well, I think 19,596 is the full house. I'm sure there were some SROs, but nearly 20,000 Google Home Mini speakers were given away. And I was hoping that y'all could help me through this because I am terrified of the technology, the smart speakers.
It's always on. It's hearing everything you say. And they know now it is also tracking your social security number.
It records everything.
All of your credit card numbers. It's got it all.
Now, here's the thing. I bet that my phone is doing the same thing at all times anyway. I've got the face recognition turned off. I've got the Siri thing turned off, the permanent Siri turn off when you gotta, you say, hey, whatever, and then it turns
off. No, things are too weird. There are some things that defy coincidence when we've discussed some things on the show or discussed some things in a meeting, and then something pops up on the phone selling me something.
Youth hockey. For me, it's youth hockey gear. You and I talk about youth hockey gear for the kids so much that now my phone thinks I'm trying to buy goalie stuff.
Please do.
No.
My diabolical plan is finally coming together.
You've been doing this for 25 years. You can buy your kid his own hockey gear.
He needs the new leg pads. I think I like this idea.
No.
It's all coming together.
I just bought a house. I'm trying to keep toilet paper stocked. I am not buying your kid hockey gear.
Damn it. This segment's brought to you by the Chicago Dogs. Baseball, hot dogs, fireworks. It's baseball with everything. Come see Carlos Zambrano's comeback at the Chicago Dogs, your premier minor league baseball team located in Rosemont. Get in the game this opening weekend with a world record hot dog costume giveaway Friday. That's today. Best postgame fireworks tomorrow, Saturday, and meet the team family Sunday. Tickets at thechicagodogs.com. The Chicago Dogs, baseball with everything.
Wieners.
Or so they call them. a cluster of massive great white sharks, some of which researchers have been tracking for more than a decade, has gathered 20 miles off the coast of the Carolinas. Shark party. Some of the sharks even have names. Cabot, Hal, Jane, Jefferson, Brunswick, and Luna, a 15-footer who weighs in at more than 2,000 pounds.
Oh, she's the... Okay.
Great whites can tip the scales at up to 4,000 pounds and grow to be 17 feet long. The numbers on the Atlantic coast are on the rise. There's a reason Luna and her friends are so well-known. They're being tracked by Dr. Robert Huter, senior scientist for the ocean research organization OSEARCH. He says, in our studies, we've tagged about 43 sharks, and six of the largest ones are off the Carolinas. So they're not right up close to the beach. But he and his team have been studying the sharks' migration patterns around the world. Luna is a typical migration, moves south to the warmer waters off Florida in the winter, making her way back up north for the summer. But there's something else that could be encouraging the sharks to stick around. Experts say shipwrecks in the region provide artificial reefs that thousands of fish now call home. So one of the really unique aspects of the North Carolina coastline, thousands and thousands of shipwrecks. Sharks come in, there's big fish, small fish, the whole food chain that now exists on the wrecks. We're seeing sharks come back because if protections are in place, it is a conservation success story. The next part of the journey for these sharks is up the coast as far as Newfoundland. So just beware, not only are they there, they know which sharks are there.
It's a convoy. They got a convoy going all the way up to Newfoundland. There's a bunch of shipwrecks off North Carolina. Yeah. I had no idea.
I have actually fished some of them.
Really? You'd take a charter out there and drop a line down?
Off of South Carolina, and it wasn't that far off of shore, but we had a day catching black sea bass off of this little shipwreck in whatever it was, 25, 30 feet down even, and light spinning tackle. And I will tell you, so it may be the best eating that I've ever had in my life of freshly caught black sea bass.
Pull them out, throw them on the grill?
Poached.
Oh, yeah.
Foil poached in like a vinaigrette. Oh, yeah. Just the whitest, flakiest, most freshest you've ever had. They take it out, they cut it up before you. It's still flopping around while they're cutting it up. Right home and into the oven, and just amazing.
We've talked a lot about Alex Rodriguez on the show this week, and I kind of wish we hadn't, but also kind of wish we had, which I think is the nature of Alex Rodriguez. It's kind of I wish he didn't, but also I'm fascinated by him. This is from Page Six, so you know it's good. Have you heard about this?
What?
There is a rogue photo making the rounds of Alex Rodriguez sitting on his toilet, shot through the window of his luxury NYC apartment.
What?
And now his legal team is urgently trying, and this is Page Six, you gotta bear with me on the writing, and now his legal team is urgently trying to flush out the photographer, who was likely at a Manhattan hedge fund next door. Rodriguez apparently likes to linger on the Louvre as, I don't know if that's the right thing.
The Louvre.
What it says. It says Louvre here on the thing. Page Six has made a typo. At his Park Avenue
Quite
apartment.
Naturally, I'm going to take my children to the Louvre.
Without closing the blinds. Who doesn't? And the former Yankee slugger was caught with his pants down on the throne by a photographer who was privy to a clear view from the adjacent building. The photo, which has been seen by Page Six, it gets worse, but which we wouldn't publish for privacy reasons, shows A-Rod in a blue shirt, his trousers down, texting on his phone, and luxuriating on the loo, they got it right this time, in his white marbled bathroom. Now, I say to you this, isn't it kind of comforting to know that A-Rod takes care of things the same way everybody on the world does? You take your phone in there, you do your business, you linger for a little while because that's the place of privacy and that's where you're alone and most secure in the world.
Now, does he live with her kids? Like, do they have a bunch? Like, if you – her kids are older, right? But
they,
I know
– got four different places, I think, in New York. And this place has 4.5 bathrooms. It's the $17.5 million apartment that he does own with Jennifer Lopez. Look. It's unclear as to whether or not the kids are actually there.
I can't be mad at him, man. If being on his phone
I'm not
in the bathroom,
mad at him.
If it allows him a
this
chance.
This is the most human he's been all week.
If it makes it more likely that he has a baseball thought that makes sense because he's studying something in there.
Twitter's the place for that.
That's the peaceful place. That's the happy place. That's when the day comes and it's time to scatter my ashes. I don't want you going out to some four corners of the earth. They say where was this man the happiest? Scatter him right in the damn bathroom.
He died doing what he loved.
Yeah,
there he is.
Do that. It's really
Alex's
easy.
Lawyers are all over this. They're working hard to find out the culprit. It's a clear breach of privacy. One of the hedge funds in the building next door will be getting a big lawsuit, according to Alex's folks.
Top of the hour is brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Coach Fitz and the 17th-ranked Cats this fall at Ryan Field. Matchups include Ohio State, Michigan State, and Iowa. Season tickets on sale now at NUSports.com. And this segment brought to you by Door Systems. Call 1-800-THE-DOOR. Baseball talk. Cubs, White Sox, Ian Kinsler being a penis. All of that coming your way. Jonah Carey officially makes it a Friday with Baseball Talk next on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.